Blog Talk Radio.
I always, this is Michael. Good afternoon. I always have to hold my breath for a second because I just wait for that the Autobot introduction to get done. This is Michael. We're going to do another show in our series of episodes on Drive Through about bloggers on the SHRM 18 Blog Squad. Our guest today is Josh Rock. Hey, Josh, welcome to Drive Through. Let me get this blurb out of the way for our sponsor, and then we'll let you do an intro. Sound good?
Sounds good, man.
All right, cool. This podcast is sponsored by Clear Company, a complete talent management system that unifies recruiting, onboarding, performance management, and goal tracking into one award-winning solution. Learn how you can hire more A players with Clear Company. Visit clearcompany.com for product information. We appreciate the Clear Company sponsorship of the show over the next 10 shows or so. And Josh, it's good to have you on Drive Through. I know it's not your first time, so welcome back. For our listeners, introduce yourself. For those that know you, reintroduce yourself. And for those that may not, tell us about Josh Rock and what you're up to these days.
Sure. Yeah, I'm currently a sourcing strategy specialist here at Fairview Health Services in Minneapolis. We're a healthcare company. We do 11 hospitals, 56 clinics around the Twin Cities metro area. We have some other entities within the organization as well, but I not only do full cycle recruiting, I also consult with our new sourcing team on the way that we find and engage talent to fill the openings that we have. I currently sit on finishing up my time on the Minnesota SHRM State Board as College Relations Director. Been involved with them for a number of years, doing the national SHRM conferences, local state conferences as well. I'm also one of the few board members on the Recruiters Network. We run a group of recruiter conferences across the country. Namely, the one I do the most with is obviously Minnesota Recruiters right here in the Twin Cities area, where we do two annual events geared to tool recruiters with great advice and teachings to help them improve their performance in their profession. So a lot going on.
Yeah. I think I knew some of that, but I don't know that I knew all of that. This will probably be a really basic question for you, Josh, but sourcing versus recruiting, right? You know, you're talking about having a new sourcing team. So can you define those two things, you know, briefly and talk about the difference and how it works, like in your organization, how you're putting that to work for people who may not do sourcing in their organizations, which I don't know.
Sure.
I still think there are a lot that don't.
Definitely. You know, our recruiters are you know, in some cases doing varied deviations of the whole recruiting process. Some are taking the strategy component and helping the managers get the people in place to do the roles. In our case, oftentimes it's predominantly care for patients. And then the sourcing team helps build pipelines of talent. So they're going to work with the main players in the world, the Indeeds, the LinkedIns, the Glassdoors, other specialty sites, et cetera, to engage candidates in the openings that we have or upcoming opportunities that we're going to have. And then once they're engaged, they may help them with some elements of the weeding process, but oftentimes it's just to build a pipeline for the recruiters to go in and pull the most top talent, you know, the top candidates for those roles and bring them into the processes for the positions that they have open at that time. So it's really kind of a collaboration of, you know, one team, you know, setting up the candidates, bringing them in, and then the recruiters putting them through and putting the right people into place. So we deliver the best care possible to the patients and families that come into our buildings.
Yeah, and with the people who do sourcing, and I mean, I know a lot of them. They have to be pretty creative and a little bit tech savvy, at least when it comes to, like, as you said, using LinkedIn and Indeed and the Boolean search and stuff. So it's not really like a lot of. They're talking to people, but they're doing it sort of in a different way than I would have done it when I was just a generalist. Trying to hire hourly employees, right? Calling them up on
yep.
the phone and then inviting them in for an interview. This is a quite there's a big search Well, there's a lot of work at the front end before they ever really wind up talking to somebody, is the impression I have, although I've never done actual sourcing. Is that true?
Yeah.
They kind of, yeah. So that, anyway, I know we didn't say we were going to talk about that, but since you brought
it up.
And
definitely.
There's like a whole school or a whole subset of the recruiting world or talent acquisition where people specialize in sourcing. And I guess what makes a good sourcer? What are the traits?
Obviously somebody who's nimble and creative, because again, sourcing is really pulling people who aren't looking to look. So they're going in and they're finding people who have a myriad of talents. They're looking for the purple squirrels. Kind of pull in the Shannon Pritchett's of the world. You know, that's her big thing with SourceCon with Steve Levy, is that they talk about the purple squirrel, looking for that hidden talent, that gem that can really set off a position for an organization. That's what our sourcers, look for. When we need a nursing supervisor or manager for an emergency department that needs to have, 5 to 10 years of experience working with a particular software or a particular subset of patients, the sourcing team here will put those words together in a Boolean string or whatever to pull those names out of, the populations of people across the country and across the globe, but then that find their contact info and reach out to them about an opportunity, or provide that information to me as the recruiter to reach out to them about the opportunity. And so that's really where they take that nuance, that specialty, and really excel at it. Sourcers can make pretty good money. They used to, some organizations looked at the sourcers underneath recruiters, and more often than not, they're actually above the recruiters, because it is such a niche and it is such a specialty, and they have to do it so well and so eloquent. It is a talent. It is really a specialized position, and they do well in it.
Yeah, and so you're doing this inside a healthcare environment, and I've not worked in healthcare. Is healthcare in general a more? So everybody's got talent pipeline issues right now because everybody's working, right? Everybody who wants to work. I was going to ask you about this in relation to job hunt chat, but we'll swing there. So like in this tight labor market, does having a sourcing crew give you a competitive advantage? Or, because everybody's looking at in healthcare, it seems like, because they have to have the specialized skills and credentials, it seems like it would be even harder to find people. Yeah. So, what are you seeing in that environment, I guess, in the healthcare environment from a recruiting standpoint? Is it just so hard and constant fighting, or is there some magical
It can be. You look at here in Minneapolis, we had a pretty competitive healthcare market. There's a lot of number of players in the pool, and a lot of trading of talent back and forth. And so I laugh because I took my mom to one of my competitors recently, and she knows what I do, and she said, are you safe going into this building? Is there a wanted poster for you for taking all the people? I said, well, I appreciate the love, Mom, but you can go in and you can do a variety of things. It oftentimes for our sourcers, and it's looking at where can I find a list of people, or what group can I infiltrate to find those folks. And so it is a lot of infighting for the same resources. I mean, there's only so many nurses and only so many radiology techs that are experienced enough for certain things, or can fit with what a leader is looking for. And so there is. It's whining and dining somebody to leave an organization to come to Fairview for that particular role. So it does take some not only some tech savvy to do that, but then also some suave, moves to get them to leave whatever they may be doing that's comfortable. It's a dance. It's a navigation.
Yeah, it's probably a topic that deserves a better discussion someday than here, because we got 30 minutes to cover a bunch of stuff. So job hunt chat, not job hunt, although that might be cool too. you've done that. That's one of. I was talking yesterday. I did a show with Brian Wempton. Brian interviewed me and came back
to
drive through yesterday. Yeah, Cinco de Wempton. And so that was fun. We did a show yesterday where we were talking about kind of like how this was one of the first HR podcasts, you know, and he started it. He's like, it started in 2010. And I'm like, oh, my God, this show is eight years old, right? So there's a proliferation of podcasts. You know, a lot of HR people have gotten into them and are doing much slicker shows than I am. But it's interesting to me to kind of, he and I talked about that yesterday, but same thing same thing seems to me with Twitter chats. They've been around forever, and some are new, and some are a little bit more of elder statesmen. And I have not participated in job hunt chat on a regular basis, but it's been around for a while, right?
Yeah, we've been around about, I think, 8 or 9 years now. I started with the group as a contributor. I was working for JobDig and LinkUp, job search marketing company, here in the based out of Twin Cities. Back in 2003, I didn't have money to, you know, market a lot. I had to go guerrilla warfare style a lot. And so one of the things that I found was this job hunt chat run by @CornOnTheJob, also known as Rich DiMatteo out of Philly, and would jump in and talk to candidates about what recruiters and companies were saying, because that's what I was hearing the most of, doing their advertising, but then provide them the resources for opportunities in their marketplaces. After Rich's company, Bad Rhino, took off, he took a step back and asked me to take the wheel of Job Hunt Chat, and we've been doing it ever since. We've changed some moderators. Some of our good friends in the HR space, you'd recognize Mary Faulkner, who's currently on her nice 2-week vacation in Europe. She is a co-moderator. Jennifer Novak out of Tampa area. She's on there with us. Barb Buckner out of Chicago. And then we got Tim up in Canada, up in Toronto, Tim Baker. So we've got a good crew of us on here that are moderating each week. It's if HR folks want to join in and talk and provide job-seeking advice, it's Monday nights, 8 o'clock Central Time, so that's 9 P Eastern, 7 Mountain, 6 Pacific. If you want to join on, it's Monday nights, I said, on Twitter, just Job Hunt Chat. You'll find us going through that. But what we do is we interact with candidates. We provide a moderated set of questions and have candidates and recruiters engage back and forth in dialogue about advice and how to navigate through the process. It's a staple. You see a lot of some of the same personalities that dedicate themselves to joining us each week, and some new voices every other week or so. But it's something that we've been doing just to give back, and it's been fun. I enjoy it. My wife's usually sitting down on a chair next to me, watching whatever TV program's on, and I'm hacking away at my computer, spurring dialogue between the groups.
Yeah. So it's funny because Richie, Brad Rhino is more of a social, I think more of a social media company these days, right? I hadn't even thought of it. I didn't realize he started that, and I haven't seen him in probably, a good 7 or 8 years. So that's like a kind of a blast from the past. I remember when he was very active, the Corn on the Job, and I thought that was a great handle back in the old Twitter days. So yeah, cool. So other Twitter chats. We'll jump back and forth, but there's like, if you're talking about Twitter chats, there's a few really good ones out there, but Sherm does one every week on Wednesday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern time called Next Chat. So it's # NEXT chat. And that's run by Mary Kaler and then often has Andrew Morton and others from Sherm in there. And they'll talk about different topics that are very specific topics and usually with a guest, moderator, that are of interest to the HR generalist. So, and they've done a few shows around the Sherm 18 # for the national show, and they had a couple of shows where the bloggers appeared, and I was on one and didn't make the other. I'm sure you were on there as well at some point, Josh, since you're on the blog squad. But I guess Twitter chats for someone who you know, because there's still a lot of people, especially in the HR profession, who don't like Twitter. Can you just kind of like highlight, I know you talked about what Job Hunt Chat is, but just give us a quick, why would you jump on a Twitter chat and like how can someone who's never done it before find value there?
You know, it's actually really simple. How I got into it years ago was just I created an account. I just sat back and lurked, you know, sat back and watched everybody else go back and forth on things. One of the guys that really kind of sprung off it for was Jay Koons. Jay was a client of mine years ago, back when he was at All Children's Hospital down in Tampa. He's now a consultant. But I kind of started off with him and somebody I respected and you know, kind of found my voice later on. But that's a great way to start is you don't have to, you know, contribute, but you can just sit there and listen by reading what other professionals in the space are talking about. You know, find one that does or look for a next chat from SHRM or a job hunt chat from my group or whatever, whatever, you know, your interest is. Look at that hashtag we see everywhere now. But it was kind of a novelty when we first started, and find that audience and just sit there and absorb. And then when you find something that's compelling to you to respond, then jump in and contribute. But oftentimes you'll find a specific topic that's related to an interest of yours where you can either, you know, gravitate towards something that you want to add to or just absorb what others are providing insights on. Depends on what you're looking for. But that's a great way to get into. And, you know, Twitter is it's a fantastic avenue, but it's not for everybody. Not everybody wants to do it. I would say if you're going to dabble into it, I'd, you know, grab a tweet deck or a Hootsuite just to keep things organized. And if anybody has questions about how to set that up, they can drop me a line here after this, and I'd be happy to show them how I do it. But you can, there's ways to weed through the noise and get to a specific frame of content. And that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, it totally does. And if you're listening to this podcast, you know, one might assume that because you're cool enough to listen to a podcast, even mine, you're cool enough to be on Twitter. But I know for a fact that my boss listens, and he doesn't do Twitter very much. So I was reminiscing with Ben Eubanks and some others over these shares about the old days at SHRM National when they first started the blog squad back with Curtis Midkiff and how a lot of our work there and at HR Florida was basically showing people how to set up Twitter accounts. I mean, literally helping them. Okay, here, let me just log in for you. Here's your password. Go try to have fun. So it's the knowledge base is a lot deeper, and I know the user adoption is, you know, in the HR community is a lot deeper. But there's still people who don't get it. And you're right, it's not for everyone. So all right, so Job Hunt Chat and your job. We'll get into SHRM a little bit more next chat. Yeah. I got the pitch in for already. So let's talk another hashtag that I don't know if you created, but I know that we both adopted it, and that's the hashtag HR Puckheads. It's NHL Prime. And, yeah, so I did a show with a few Puckheads a year or two ago, and we had fun. I don't know if anybody else ever listened to it. So my Lightning and Jay Coons, you mentioned Jay Coons' Lightning crapped out, couldn't get past the OV and the Washington Caps. So I'm not as glued to the TV set as I was, but it's so far the finals have been pretty good show, I think. How about you?
Yeah, they've been fantastic. I mean, now granted, my Wild ducked out quite early in the playoffs, but you know, the one thing that I've been lucky to do is I've been able to make connections with guys who, you know, were with my alma mater, the UMD Bulldogs, and now are on various NHL teams, and so I can watch a variety of different players on these other franchises and still have a tie-in. And it's got even better with having my two boys, my 9-year-old and my 6-year-old, because they've gotten to enjoy the sport as much as I do, but have a deeper connection with these former college athletes that are now on the pro teams and have something to aspire to. And so it used to be just me as a fan, you know, but now it's gotten deeper with my boys being as connected to the game as they are. From Dominic Toninato with the Colorado Avalanche to Alex Iafallo, who made the playoffs with the Kings, Joey Anderson, who won the national championship with UMD this year, who vacated his 2 more years of college eligibility to sign with the Devils, who are also a playoff-level team. It's cool that they've been able to make connections with these players as kids, but now watch them on the highest stage. You're looking at this year alone in the Stanley Cup Finals. You've got Matt Niskanen from Virginia, Minnesota, where I'm up from, the Iron Range of Minnesota, played for UMD and is now playing at the highest level. You've got TJ Oshie, played for North Dakota, also Minnesota.
The Lightning.
Playing on Captain America back in the day, playing with the Caps as well. Then you go to Vegas, and you've got Eric Hola, a Gopher, playing with them, and then Nate Schmidt, St. Cloud Cathedral kid, right in my neighborhood, playing with Vegas as well. So either way, whoever wins, I've got a connection somewhere to these teams, and my boys get to enjoy it as well. And hopefully, you know, if Vegas pulls it out, Schmidt brings the cup back to St. Cloud, and we get to see it. Or you know, if Caps win, Niskanen brings it to the Iron Range, we can go up there and see it. So it's pretty cool to have those connections.
You can see it either way. And for those many people who might listen to this podcast and don't follow hockey, one of the traditions of the Stanley Cup, the award that the NHL season champion gets, is each player gets to take the cup for a day and hang around with it. People have taken it in their swimming pools and ate cherry pie out of it, and I can't even begin to imagine what all they've done. But it's like one of the – it's one of the strangest and coolest traditions of the cup, and it's awesome. You know, Josh, it's funny. I don't have present connection into the league now, right? But when I was a kid playing in many years ago, like decades ago, I grew up in the Detroit area, and I knew and got a chance to meet Mark and Marty Howe and Gordy Howe, who was still he played almost as long as I've lived, it seems. Got a chance to hang out with them, and you know, it was on the one hand, like visiting God, because I mean, for me as a 13-year-old kid, that Gordy Howe's house, you know, was. But the other side of it is, and I there's a question here. You know, the they were normal people, right? I mean, and they weren't the rich, super rich athletes that we are today. But I have always found that hockey players, not to say other sports professional athletes aren't. But most hockey players are really down to earth and people and likable people in general. And it sounds like you have like that same range, even with your family running through the experience. You find that the same quality still in people that are playing, even with the money
definitely
that's thrown around these days.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, cool. some of the guys that I mentioned earlier, you know, my boys have, you know, got to make a connection with during their college days, and now that they're in the pros, they still make time for this stuff. Dominic Toninato with the Avs, you know, he's only been with the team now. I actually only been up really for 1 year. He you know, does a lot of charity events. He, you know, hangs out with kids. You will see him on the Avs social media channels with kids all the time. It's just who he is. It's deeply ingrained in him. Joey Anderson, who signed with the Devils, he still messages my sons through my channels. You know, so it's cool to have these connections. I mean, I remember back in 98, when you talk about the day with the cup, Dallas Stars won it against Buffalo in the hyped foot in the crease scenario with Dominic Hasek. But Brett Hull brought the cup to Duluth. I was running a restaurant across the street from the bar that his buddies hung out at, and I closed up the shop. I hear this bang, bang, bang on the picture glass window, and I look up, and it's Brett Hull and Mike Bolt in the Stanley Cup. And they were wanting food. I had just closed on the grill. I said, well, come on in. I'll put some stuff on for you. And opened the place up, him and his buddies. There's just a few guys. And I'm like, keep it on the level. Let you guys in. We'll be good. But I make their food, and they ask, well, you know, what do you have to drink in here? There's no alcoholic beverages in there. And, you know, and I said, well, I got half a case of Greek wine in the back from the church that hasn't picked it up yet. And he goes, well, grab three bottles. I'll pay you three times the price. You don't get fired. Open it up, corked it, and he goes, it's your place. You drink first. So here I am drinking from the Stanley Cup. Totally cool.
Yeah.
2 days later, Jamie Langenbrunner is celebrating with a cup, and he's tootling around with it on a jet ski with two life jackets around it so it doesn't float or doesn't sink to the bottom of the lake. Just cool, awesome. Cool experiences.
You played goalie, right?
I didn't. Actually, I didn't play organized hockey much. I was kind of a rink rat. I played more broom ball in college more than anything, but I do tend to gravitate towards goalies.
Yeah, I remember when we did the street hockey in Atlanta and we almost melted, but you played goalie there. I guess that's where I got the impression you were a goaltender from. So.
Yeah, I stood up stood on my head a few times making saves against you guys, although you had a wicked backhander, if memory serves me, Mike.
Yeah, I scored a hat trick, which doesn't say much because we were just flipping a ball on grass, but it was a blast. So.
hey, it counts.
I'm mobile, but I can still shoot, I guess.
There you go.
We only have like 5 minutes. We only have like 5 minutes left. So I guess we need to switch over to Sherm 18. So
totally.
Let's get that, since that's the purpose of the show. So you've done it a few times, right? So let's do the obligatory, like, you know, tip that people need, you know, and we've got shoes and wardrobe covered. So any other tips about Chicago or international in general that you want to share from your wisdom?
Sure. And I go about every couple of years. Mary and Andrew can only tolerate me that much. I'm just kidding. They it's fun. I get to go and reconnect with all my my brethren on the blogging team. You know, the one thing that I would tell people to do is if your company's sending you, one thing that I've done, and my leaders really appreciate this, is I give them a list of the sessions, and I let them pick out one or two sessions that they want me to go to for sure. Because granted, I'm covering a lot of different things. I'm you know, posting on different topics. I'm meeting with vendors. I'm doing a variety. I'm meeting attendees, and finding out a lot about them and talking about that stuff. But I want to get what they want so I can bring back value to the team. So if you're wondering if your boss is sending you to this conference and you're not sure what you want to go to, give the schedule to your leader and say, hey, you know, you've been nice enough, yeah, hopefully, to pony up some money to send me to this conference. What sessions would you like me to go to bring stuff back to the team? I know my leaders appreciate that tactic. Don't worry about the shoes, the wardrobe. It is going to be cold in the conference room, so come prepared, wear comfortable shoes. Okay, that stuff's done. Have fun. Make connections. You know, don't be afraid to, when you're standing in line for the whatever wrap sandwiches we have for lunch one day, to talk with the people around you. Don't hang out with just the same friends the whole time. One trick that I use, I bring a extension cord with multiple prongs, because guess what? There's probably 15 to 20 other people that are in the same session with you that have their phone dying on their lap. So if you plug in, you may make some new friends, make some new connections in either the same industries or different industries that you can collaborate with or share ideas with down the road or ask advice from when you may need it later on. I love the whole extension cord piece that I do. It just opens up a new world of connections. Go to events.
Literally.
Don't go back to your hotel. There's a lot of events. Jessica Miller Merrill will be coming out with the official, unofficial party list here this week, I think, she mentioned. Go to some of the events. Go hang out with people. Let your hair down a little bit. You don't have to go wild and crazy, although there are some. I have seen HR people dancing on tables. But get out and have fun. It's not just work. Make connections. And then when you go home, build upon those connections. It's not a high school yearbook that once a year you just go back and celebrate, you know. Maintain connections with other people throughout the year. So those are a couple ones. Go to content outside of your normal role. The idea there is to build you as a professional. So if all you do is, if all you're in is talent acquisition, just going to talent acquisition sessions. Go to different ones that may stretch your professional knowledge a little bit. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to go all benefit sessions or whatever. But go to something a little bit outside of your realm just to add to your toolkit a little bit. You'll never be unhappy with that when you do. When you go see vendors, meet with vendors beyond just the free swag. While they're okay with you taking the swag, but make a connection on stuff that you are genuinely interested in. They will appreciate it. You may need it down the road. So take a look at that stuff. How's that?
Yeah, and I think that was a very concise and informative summary, and I love the plug idea. It doesn't have to be an extension cord either. You get a multi-plug power converter that has a couple USB ports and a couple of plugs. You don't have to carry like a long extension cord. There are other power tools out there. Anyway, we're down to the last minute. So Josh, thanks for coming on the show. I guess
thanks for having me.
I know you're absolutely look forward to seeing you in less than a couple of weeks. Tell folks your Twitter handle and where else they might find you.
You can find me on Twitter at jrock96, jrock96. Obviously, you can find me on the LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook. I'm on all those channels. So hit me up if you want to connect or want to learn more on different variety tools. I'm happy to help.
Thanks. I'm going to go ahead and do a final thank you to Clear Company, and then I'm going to end the show, Josh. I'll see you in Chicago on 17th or 18th or whatever day that Sunday is. All right?
See you in 13 days.
Thanks, man. This podcast is sponsored by Clear Company. Clear Company is the world's fastest growing talent management platform, allowing companies to easily hire, retain, and engage A players. Visit clearcompany.com to sign up for a free demo. Thanks. This is Mike, and the show is over for today.